time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, May 5th. We're back in the studio with you.
Good morning. What's up, Sam?
You're looking great this morning, showing skin and everything.
Showing skin. It's hot out.
Wow, I'm lucky, let me tell you. What a way to start the morning.
I dress up for you.
Yes,
know that.
I do. Thank you very much for that.
It's so warm out. I don't want to put clothes on.
That's true,
so
huh?
So I wear as little as possible.
It's been very hot in LA the last couple of days. And we're getting used to that. It's going to be a hot summer, I have a feeling,
you know. Which I kind of like.
You do? You like very hot?
Well, I mean, not too
Well, you
too
don't
hot,
live in the valley. I mean, you live
yeah,
where it's kind of cool,
that's
you know?
That's true. You have 10 degrees hotter than me, so no. And I feel your pain, because when I moved out here, I lived in the valley for 9 months, and I was like, I hated it so much because of the heat. And I was like, this sucks. I'm never doing this again, and I haven't moved back since to the valley.
No, the valley is not very good for single people, you know? I mean, there's not much happening. It's more of a laid back.
But they have great houses out here for reasonable prices that you can rent.
Yeah, compared to Hollywood.
Compared to Hollywood
course.
And West Hollywood, it's, you know, I pay $1,625 for a one bedroom.
Wow.
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's central to everything. I do have a yard.
Of course,
I do have parking.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's frustrating. Like, I could get a house in the valley for cheaper.
Not necessarily, no.
Okay then.
There's no one-bedroom houses. I mean, how many are there?
No. Know? Like, if I could get... I could get like a two-bedroom for maybe 100 or 200 more because I was looking and I found
a house or an apartment.
A house.
Really?
Yes, for like 1,800, 1,900.
Really?
Yeah. I'm
Where?
Not joking.
What area in the valley? Probably not the good areas, huh?
Not like the ghetto. I don't know. I was looking on Craigslist not too long ago and I was finding some good places for like 1,800, 1,900.
Really? You better go check them out. I mean, if it's like the terrible areas, you don't want to live there.
Thanks
you know?
For raining on my parade.
Well, I'm trying not to, but I'm straightening you out here.
You're trying to help me out. I know. I'm just giving you
a No, because I know. I mean, we've looked, and I mean, the prices are not even close to that if you want to get like a 2-3 bedroom, you know. But I don't know if they have houses with one bedroom, maybe older ones.
Oh,
you know?
Not one bedroom. I was looking at like 2 bedrooms.
Really?
I do, because I do price. Want a bigger place for my dogs, but and me. Just for my dogs. I'm moving just for my dogs. They're so spoiled. No, I do want a bigger place. But I found stuff around that area. I mean, for, you know, a good price. And I was quite shocked.
Well,
and I was like,
good,
you know, maybe I should move out here. But I just don't know if I can do the heat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
I kind of want to move to, like, the west side, though.
Yeah. But here, everything is air-conditioned. I know in Hollywood it's
true.
Not, right? It's
that's
older
true.
Buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I have a little wall unit, which is broken right now, which sucks. But I have to get a new one. But, there's no air in my house.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It gets a little warm.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah. That's why you go to the beach, right?
Exactly.
Drive down
Well, you
the
are
beach.
Closer to the beach, right?
Yeah,
than
well,
we are,
I mean,
yeah.
you know.
Over here.
We're all like 20 minutes away.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Without traffic, which never happens.
No, it never happens.
What the hell? My internet just went out. I was just looking at pictures of, why am I such a dork? I'm obsessed with Twilight. Just
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
I am obsessed. I can't even take it.
I don't get this vampire deal. Why do people like it so much?
It's not even the vampire. I'm not really into the whole vampire thing, like the Vampire Diaries. Okay, whatever. No, I don't. It's Rob Pattinson that I am obsessed with.
Yeah,
like absolutely obsessed with. And it's not really the movies because the movies kind of suck. It's just good to look at him.
I see. Okay.
But the books are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like stupid, cheesy love story crap. You know what I mean? It is. Yeah, but I've read the whole series twice.
Really? Wow. And then saw the movies probably too, right?
I saw the movie first, mm-hmm. and I was like, eh, it was okay.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, you know what? He's cute, but I wasn't gung-ho on him. Then a month later, I read the first book. Uh-huh. And the way that she wrote it was like this guy who was just so like in love with this woman that he would do anything. And I fell in love with that.
I see.
I fell in love with the idea of somebody loving me because I became Bella.
Yeah. love
so
me, Daddy.
Much, right? I became Bella. I loved me so much that he would do anything for me.
Wow.
And so I went back and saw the movie, and then I put the book to him, and then I fell in love with him.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so because of the story more.
It's not really him, to be honest. I mean, he's cute.
Yeah.
But, like, there's
been... The character?
There's been cuter men in this world. But, like, it's just the book for me that did it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't.
Well, that's cool. It's
I think
nice,
you should read
you know?
That. I should think you should put that on your list to read.
I don't know about that. Sounds like chick stuff to me.
I know. It is. It is total chick stuff. Yeah. I don't know how any guy could stand to watch it or to go with his girlfriend. If I was the boyfriend, I'd be like, hell no, sweetie. I am not going to see
yeah,
this bullshit.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, that's the way it works.
Mm. But they were just putting up photos. Excuse me, they're just putting out photos of the new, the fourth installment of Breaking Dawn, and I'm just beside myself.
So you've seen all three movies?
Yeah, I own all three movies.
Oh, you own them? Excuse
Hell yeah.
me.
I watch them all the time. And they're so bad. Like, the dialogue is so bad.
Really?
I could write better dialogue than this. I think even a third grader could write better dialogue than this.
Wow.
But it's not necessarily the dialogue from the book. So
right.
I'm not saying the woman, Stephanie... I forget her last name. Edwards or, I don't, Stephanie. No, that's not her name. Stephanie something. She wrote a good book. You know, she's a good writer. It's just whoever wrote the screenplays are just not so talented.
Really?
No, I mean, you know, whatever. That's my opinion.
That's your
not,
take on it. Okay,
that's my
sounds
take, so.
Good. All right.
There you go.
Well, folks, in a few minutes, we're going to have an author who wrote a book. If you guys are into raising your teens and you care halfway about it, even give half a shit about it.
Or if you don't care, just listen.
You'll be interested.
But Tom Sturges, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk to him. So yeah, when I have kids.
Cool. Yeah. Then you'll be prepared.
Then I will be prepared.
Yeah.
Because I was a disaster growing up. Ask my father.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, I just saw an article where a lot of adult kids don't have an idea how to manage money and stuff. And depend on their parents until they're 30, 31 years old. That's what it says here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, but
yeah.
That doesn't count you in there. I'm sure you.
Oh,
I'm
no.
sure you've matured a lot before that.
No, no. I depended on my parents for money. Are you kidding me? Not now, but I have for a long time.
Well,
I mean,
we all have.
I took a break and then I depended on my husband and then I went back to my parents. So yeah, I had some help along the way, but I don't know. Maybe for women or is it men too? Are they doing a poll on?
Yeah, men too.
Really?
Men too, yeah.
That's interesting.
I know. You know, I mean, I think what happens is these college kids get into debt early for school loans and shit like that, and then they have to pay it forever,
That's
you know?
That's true.
And, you know, when you get into debt in the beginning of your adult life, it's not a great way to start, you know? So,
no,
and,
not
of course,
at all.
My daughter didn't listen to me and went and took school loans, so.
And now she has a lot of debt.
Yeah, well, she's still in school, but who do you think is going to be faced with this debt until
you.
She decides she's going to get a freaking job? So we'll ask Tom how we can do that.
You need some advice on that, Sam.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So they're debating whether the killing of Bin Laden was legal now.
What?
Yeah.
What's this now?
They're saying that he wasn't armed, and perhaps it wasn't legal under international law to shoot him.
Are you serious?
Do you believe this shit? You know,
who's coming up with this?
I don't know, but people are always like, you know, trying to look for conspiracies and shit like that.
Oh God,
you know?
I know.
But the thing is this, you know, you're in the middle of a raid, you're looking for people, you get shot at. What are you supposed to do?
Right.
You know.
Well, defend
Take
yourself.
Take him easily. Yeah.
Defend yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Exactly. By killing the bastard, man.
You know, half the time that people. Well, not half the time. I don't really know. But, you know, there's a lot of times where people will kill people to defend themselves, obviously.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
it's not legal. It's just you got to defend yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but look at everything he did. How can people say that? I mean, granted, I don't like the people that were cheering that right. he's dead, but still, I mean, how can you say that after what he did? Mm-hmm. But I liked what you had, you and Chris, one of our listeners was, hey Chris, where you guys were talking about on Facebook yesterday about, you know, people wanting to see Osama's
photos and stuff.
Photos
yeah.
and they're not releasing them and right. they could be hiding them, who knows? But, you know, Chris was saying, like, look, we see all these horrible pictures of U.S. soldiers dying and all this tragic stuff. Yeah, like
dragged behind cars.
Exactly.
Somalia and shit. Yeah.
And they show us that freely. Mm-hmm. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then somebody who performs such a horrible, unthinkable act on U.S. people, mm-hmm. it's we won't show that.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand the thing.
It's because,
it.
you know, Americans try to show that we're better than they are, you know, and mm-hmm. we're not going to stoop that low. But at the same time, it's like this has nothing to do with it. People want proof that indeed he was yeah. killed, you know, because there's been rumors for years that he'd been killed and this and that and this and that.
Yeah.
So people just want some kind of closure, you know.
Yeah, I
and
understand
And the government is being secretive, and a lot of people don't appreciate that, you know, me included. And I don't get into politics that much, you know.
Right,
but,
right.
But this is
I know it's oh God, I would love to get a conspiracy theorist on just to hear this. Maybe I'll call my ex-husband one of these days. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have different thoughts about it, but I can't believe that this is what they're coming up with.
Yeah.
And why not? Like, everybody's saying it's because of, you know, re-election, like whatever. But I just want to know why now, like. Yeah. After all this time, mm-hmm. we couldn't find him, and now we kill him, and now they won't show a picture. Like, it's just enough. Something's not adding up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, I really can't figure it out.
Yeah, I know. I just still don't understand the hurry in burying him. But
yeah, like what yeah. you and my dad were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Which we can continue, you know, because yeah. I know my dad was dying to talk about this for an hour.
Yeah.
But we had more important things.
Yeah, but we beat the topic to death already, so we can move on.
Oh, no, he just texted me. What? The radical Muslim community and sympathizers are screaming it is illegal, namely the liberal scholars and the press.
Yeah,
that's
obviously.
What he just said.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Dad.
All right, so we're going to call our author, and his name is Tom Sturgis, and let's find out what part of the country he's in. I think he's in L.A.
Okay.
Tom Sturgis' office.
Yes, good morning. We're calling from L.A. Talk Radio for Tom for an interview.
Oh, hello, and
Hi.
What is your name?
Sam and Stephanie in the
hello.
Morning from L.A.
Okay,
Talk Radio.
Just a moment.
Thank you. I think he's releasing the book today, so he's probably busy and everything, you know.
Oh, what a fun day we picked.
Isn't it cool? Everybody writes a book.
I am.
Are you really?
No, you remember when she said that, Jay was like, and you're going to write a book. I'm like, great, can you tell me on what? Then I'll get a head start.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good. We figured you're probably pretty busy since today your book is being published, right? And being
today
released.
Is the day. Cinco de Mayo, baby.
Yes, congratulations to you. This is very
thank
nice.
Thank you so much.
Yes. The book we're talking about is Grow the Tree You Got. And it says, and 99 other ideas for raising amazing adolescents and teenagers. This sounds like a pretty tall order, but I started reading the book. That's a lot to cover in a book, you know. But I do have two teenagers at home as well, and I could really relate to your book. And we wanted to talk to you a little bit about it and about, you know, how this came about. Where are we calling you? Are you in L.A.?
I'm here in my office in Santa Monica, yes.
Oh, I see. And that's where you live, in L.A.?
I live down by the beach, south of the airport. So.
I see. Okay. Well, you sure know how to live, man. We're like here in the valley in the heat.
I know, in the heat.
Oh, hot out there.
Yes,
it sure is.
It is.
Yeah, don't leave your car parked in the side of the road. It'll burn right up.
It's really? Incredible. Yeah, and melt right there.
Well, so, thank you guys so much for calling. I so appreciate
course.
It. And this is my favorite cause, I guess, in a way, is good parenting and sort of providing another point of view, another way of, you know, treating our children that has some of the ways are things that worked great for me, and some of them are mistakes that I made.
Right.
So it's not a book of I told you so. It's a book of, well, here's what I tried.
Right. Right. More of your experience and what you've learned and so forth.
So do you have two kids?
I have three boys now.
Three boys.
I have a 19-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay, so they're still young. So
I still have time.
Yeah, there you go.
So how did this come about for you? I know I was a terror growing up. Ask my mother and my father. I was a disaster. And I think women are a little bit different. I have three brothers, and they were a little bit easier. I'm not saying my parents didn't have their issues with them, but I was more so the, you know, at least with me and my mom, I was.
Mm.
We would get in fights that were beyond anything, Tom. Like, we would scream, say horrible things, and then not talk for 3 days.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So,
it was. Yeah.
So do you have children now?
No. I don't. But this is great for me. I'm learning. So when I do have kids, I know what not to do. Do the opposite of what I did.
This is the thing. And the whole point of what I was trying, what I'm trying to write about and say is that every child is uniquely different.
Yeah.
And you can't raise them all one way. You got to look to what is individual about that child and what that child is supposed to be and help them become that person.
Right. Mm. But you know what? It's gotten frustrating for me because, you know, it also tells in the book in the beginning that, you know, you wanted always to do the right thing by your kids and so forth. And, you know, I felt like that as well. You know, I mean, from day one, I've always been around them, been very close to them. And then one day, you know, they become teenagers or even tweens. And suddenly you're not there anymore.
They don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You're not their god anymore, you know. And
you're not the guy. This is kind of a sad period, especially if you've been a really close dad and you've really put a lot of time in, just like they told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at 13, 14, 15, your boy needs to grow away from you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's just part of he, especially boys from their fathers, they got to find their own path on the ground, their own rhythm of life.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully if you've taught them right and you've shown them right from wrong and the importance of the truth and, you know, they learn so much from their father that by the time they start doing these things on their own, they're gentlemen and honorable and very good people.
Right.
That's the hope. You certainly put it out there.
Yeah. No, for sure. You know. And
how old are your boys?
Well, I have a girl who's 21 and a boy who's 18. And my girl still hasn't gotten over her teenage years, I don't think, you know. She's still like, you know, I'm still like a remote contact that she has that sometimes she gets together. But, you know, I make the effort to see them a couple times a week and so forth. You know, I'm divorced, so they live with their mom. And so I make that effort and stuff. But, you know, still sometimes they start doing things that you just question yourself and you go, you know, where did I go wrong here?
Right.
You know?
I think that's a question you always ask. And, you know, I think parenting, there's an element of guilt in parenting because you look and think, boy, I wish I had done this, or I wish we'd kept up with the piano lessons, or maybe we should never have moved to Fresno, or whatever it is. But at the same time, children have to survive their childhood.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They have to. Everybody has to get through high school.
Right.
You know, and the ridicule and the ribbing and, you know, look at that thing on your nose. Oh, it is your nose. I mean, it's the pursuit of your life.
Right.
You have to survive these key things. And hopefully by understanding our children and being kind and loving and supportive of what they're trying to do, we make that road a little bit easier.
Right.
Tom, did you grow up with brothers and sisters?
I grew up in a most interesting environment because when I was 13, my mother put me in a rehab facility. At 13.
Wow.
Not because I was using drugs, but because she wanted to make sure I never used drugs.
Wow.
So
yeah.
She put me in a place called Synanon.
Okay.
At 13, and I didn't get out of there for 2.5 years.
Wow.
So my own adolescence was such a turmoil and such a disaster that it made me endeavor all the harder to make my children's as close to a normal dad's your coach. We're all living in the same house. Unfortunately, I also got a divorce, so that's another element of effort the father has to put forward when that happens.
Right.
But I tried to make their lives as normal as I possibly could because mine was so unnormal.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's sometimes, you know, we take our baggage and we put it on the kids, but you want to try and not to do that as much as possible. Now, so you were like in an inpatient facility there where you just had to live there?
Synanon is a whole social movement. It became a very well-known thing in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And it did a good thing. They did cure a lot of drug addicts and everything else, and then they wanted to go to an alternative lifestyle program. They were trying to grow, and they pulled my mom in on this idea that they could give me a great education and prevent me from taking drugs, and all they needed was the deed to her house.
Right. Wow.
And somehow she went for it and lost her house, and I ended up moving into this place for a couple of years. So,
wow. Right.
Living there.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Tom, my father texts me during the show all the time because that's what he does. And he wants me to ask you about birth order and how does it affect raising children. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I've used to read a lot about it. Go ahead, Tom.
I think I think it's vitally important. I think it's also a great question. And a big part of what I think is that you have to show complete respect to the oldest child. And let there be a difference. There should be some advantages and privileges to being the oldest child in a family.
Really?
Because you are the experiment. You are what the parents tried to figure out what good parenting was.
That's true.
And you at 15, you really don't have a lot of connections with a 12-year-old or a 7-year-old. And a lot of studies will tell you that one of the most difficult moments in the life of the older child is the arrival of the younger child.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Suddenly, everything was great. It was just the three of us, and we went to the park, and we did this. And whoa, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. now, a little thing that cries there that takes all the attention, and suddenly you're left out.
And so one of my ways to combat that was with my older son. I said, listen, there's going to be a moment at some point in your life where everybody's going to be paying attention to your younger brother and you're going to feel very sad about it.
Right.
And I'm giving you this imaginary bell called the Thomas bell. Mm-hmm. So if that ever happens, you ring it.
Wow.
Cut ahead a year, his younger brother is, you know, sitting there eating some ricotta cheese, and there's cheese everywhere, and it's cute. And the whole, like, seven people are gathered around watching the kid eat cheese. And from the other side of the house, I hear ding. And I look up, and there's Thomas looking so sad and so forlorn, alone on the other side of the house. And I looked up over, and he goes, ding.
Oh,
I said, is that the Thomas bell? Are you feeling sad and left out just like I told you you would? Mm. And he goes, yes, I am. What are they doing? So I gathered him up, and we ran around and spent the rest of the day together.
How cool.
So that he had a tool to recognize that was going to happen.
Right.
So I think you arm the older child and say, hey, by the way, things are going to be challenging, and here's where they're going to be challenging, and here's what you do about it.
Tom, my dad just said that you're a genius, by the way.
So
he just texted me that you're a genius, so you know.
So you're talking about preparing them for what's going to happen and what comes up in their lives.
Well, one of the essays I wrote is called Fathers and Daughters.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you can relate to me. And what I believe is how the father treats the daughter is what she will think love is.
Huh.
Right.
You know what? I will agree with that statement.
Yeah.
And father is respectful and loving and generous to her daughter. She will think that that's love.
Right.
And you think of all the relationships the daughter has to have in her life with men. Right.
Yeah.
Boyfriend, fiance, husband, father-in-law, boss, and so forth. Not that every boss is a man, but there's a lot of men, and those relationships are all harmonics of her relationship with her dad.
Yeah.
So the fact that you and your dad are still cool, and he's listening, and you're creating in front of him and saying, hey,
oh,
dad,
I have father issues, too.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
But she's grown already, you know? I mean, she better.
No, I say that. I mean, my dad is awesome, and obviously we're close, and, you know, but my dad's very – this is how my dad thinks. He he doesn't want to be – a friend to his kids. That's what he always said to us. He wants to be just the father.
The
now,
parent, right.
I mean, everybody's different, and I don't have any say-so in that, obviously, but that's what he believes. That's what he came from, his father.
But you're friends now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in his mind, though, he's still like the father. He's yeah. the parent, you know. But
he's texting you.
I know. Yeah, but
exactly. Not a lot of people, you know, have that. So I think.
Yeah, so he might have said that and he might have believed that, but whether he wanted it to or not, it developed into a friendship.
Yeah.
And somewhere in your makeup now, in your wiring, I think, is the belief that friendship is love.
Right.
So if you have a person in your life who is not a friend to you, although they want to be in your life on some other level, your instincts should tell you, you know what, you're not the right guy for me.
Yeah.
Because you don't love me. I can tell.
Yeah.
And in the same way that if somebody, let's say the father never raises his voice at his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's say, which is what I recommend, that you never, ever yell at your children because it scares them, it scars them. Any age, it's just, I think, the worst thing ever.
Yes, mm-hmm. I have to agree.
So let's say that her dad never, ever yelled at her, right? And so when he got upset, he followed my rule. He whispered, right, and got in close and went, "That upsets me."
Yeah.
Right? But never yelled at her. So then she's going out, and 5 years later, she's going out with a guy who raises her voice, who raises his voice to her.
Right.
And she's going to be like, whoa, what is that?
Right.
Yeah, my father raised his voice to me.
I think we all do, you know. And I think it's... Now, what do you think about spanking? Because there's a lot of...
No,
right?
Me personally, you can't ever hit your children.
I know. That's
especially the adolescent or teenager, and I'll tell you why. To me, and this is all my research, the mind has no delete button.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Right? You as a 15-year-old boy, your father smacks you across the face because you were rude or... something else that 15-year-olds do 97 times a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You will never forget it. He might as well hit you every day.
Right.
Because you will never forget the sting, the taste of the tears running down your cheeks, the insults, the disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
It's forever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I
do that to somebody.
Yeah. I'm glad you feel that way, because some people think that there's no other way to raise their kids but spanking them. You know, obviously you're not trying to hurt them, but, you know, I mean, even lightly, I think just the idea of getting into that kind of a situation where you have to raise your hand, you know, I don't think it's a good thing. I really don't.
You lost control of that event a long time before.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're going, and so this is why one of my rules, for instance, is I recommend that you punish with kindness.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you punish with kindness. You do this by waiting 20 minutes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all. So you go, you know what? You are in big trouble, young man. And we're going to take 20 minutes, and I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do about it.
Right.
You know.
So the boy has a chance to apologize, and you have a chance to cool down. And
great idea.
And it'll be a kinder punishment.
You know, Tom, my biggest thing growing up with, and I'm using my mother. I mean, my father got in it, too, when the shit hit the fan. But it was mostly with my mother, and I had a big issue because my parents didn't necessarily trust me because of the friends that I hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
But I was.
Did you have friends who weren't great people?
Well, I had different groups of friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of my friends drank in high school and did drugs and stuff.
Right.
Now, I never touched drugs ever in high school, ever, never wanted to. I was my own person. I was okay to say no. I didn't care about it. And none of my friends pressured me. But drinking, I would drink every so often, but I wasn't a big drinker. But I was a decent kid. I was a good kid. I was involved in stuff. But my parents didn't really trust the fact that I wasn't doing it. They assumed that I was doing it because I hung out with them.
I see.
And it really, to the point where it pissed me off, so they wouldn't let me go places with them. And I fought with my mom because of that.
So how could they have handled it differently?
Well, what I wanted was a trust thing, meaning like, look, we're going to support you no matter what. Obviously, like, sit down and talk to me about it. These are the consequences of drugs and alcohol if you choose to do it. And you're going to have to pay the consequences if you get caught.
Right.
Now, you know what I mean? Like, I would have loved a sit down and talked about it because I am my own person. I have no problem saying no. Like, F you, I'm not taking drugs. That was just me, just because my friends did it, right. I didn't do it. But that was really hard for me, to be honest, and that was why
so
I fought a lot.
So you would have preferred that your parents trusted that you were not doing it as opposed to assuming that you did?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I don't do things wrong. I'm not saying don't punish me if I make mistakes, but give me the trust, and that builds my confidence in me that I can make my own decisions. And I'm not saying that we don't make wrong decisions as kids.
Right.
But I also made a lot of right decisions in saying no to drugs when I was a kid.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds, one of the essays I wrote, it says 5 things every adolescent should know. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is that they should know trust.
Yes.
Mm. And how vitally, vitally important it is for a child to know what it is like to be trusted by their parent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because trust rarely happens as an isolated, it's not an island, it's an archipelago. Mm-hmm. It becomes a bridge between the parent and the child. Because
wow.
I trust you for the weekend, and then I trust you with the car keys, and then I trust you with the plane tickets.
Right.
And next thing you know, you trust each other in everything, and you've got a whole beautiful friendship going.
Right. Mm-hmm. So obviously,
but sometimes parents. I'm sorry. Can I just finish this?
Sure,
one?
Sure. Of course. Sorry.
But I think parents mete out their trust as though it is some very precious gold dust, as opposed to letting it be more of a nourishment in the child's life.
Mm. Right.
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these things are really counterintuitive, but it makes a lot of sense, you know, and I think you obviously given it a lot of thought. I don't want to keep you too long.
My hope is that a teenager like you.
Yes.
Like if you were when you were a kid, or when you're sitting there asking your dad to trust you and trying to figure out how to say it, that you would find out about this book and go to your parents and say, if you raise me like this book says, I'm going to have a much nicer time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to trust me. You got to teach me creativity. You never yell at me. I'm always, and by the way, the child has to come back and be respectful and kind and gentle. I mean, it goes both ways.
Right.
But I think if children, adolescents, teenagers knew that there was this guideline that they could say to their parents, please don't hit me like it says in this book.
Right.
Please don't raise your voice to me like it says in this book, because it hurts my feelings when you yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they don't know how to express that. Yeah. That's true.
They don't think that they can say that to their parents. I wrote at one point that having a teenager in your house is like having a lion in your kitchen with a thorn in its paw. Anything could go crazy at any second.
Right.
Well, do you know my last thought, and then I know you have to go because it's a big day for you, Tom. But really quickly, what I find very interesting, at least in our culture, and I'm not saying everybody's like this by any means, and I'm not a parent, but I see this with my nephew. My parents are awesome people, and they're great parents, mind you. I mean, obviously, there was a thing for me growing up with the trust, but regardless, they did an amazing job. I had a great childhood. But with that being said, you know, my parents were that my dad did yell, and we did get in fights, and there was a trust issue and all this stuff. But I see with my nephew, who's 4, my parents take care of, my mom takes care of him every single day, and they are...
What a nice person she is.
She's such an amazing, giving woman. Like, she has such an amazing heart, and she's amazing with kids, and she loves him beyond anything. But I see that it's so different with them, like, to their grandchild. They don't yell. He can do nothing wrong.
Right.
And I'm, like, sitting here, like...
You become a better parent.
What?
You do become a better parent.
When you become a grandparent?
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You panic over everything as a parent. I wrote this essay called Worst Case Scenario Syndrome, which is pronounced WICS.
Okay.
And how many people are WICSing at any moment because the worst case scenario is filling their heads. You know, the daughter's 15 minutes late. You imagine she's down watching, you know, she's in big trouble. Or the son fails to come home exactly as when he should, and you can't imagine what's gone wrong.
Right.
And I think that that's a very normal reaction. It's just as our humanity. It's what we do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You brandish it in the child's face and go, aha, you know, I don't trust you. You see, you're 5 minutes and that kind of thing. Then you send it off. But by the time you get to the, are you the baby or the eldest?
No, I'm the second. I have 4. There's 4 of us. I have 3 brothers, and I'm the second in the lineup. And we all get along. There's no right. issues. Like, I love my brothers dearly. Right. We're all completely different, Tom.
Well,
all
that's
completely
great.
Different.
That's great.
Of course.
You have a great
we're like snowflakes. Think of it. Like, the million chances that it turned out to be you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Look
true.
At the difference between you and your brother and go, oh, my God, that's how different I could be from who I am right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That is my whole purpose, is that we are individual people, and these are individual children who've been given to us.
I agree with
and
that.
And whether it's supposed to be a lawyer or a doctor or a dancer or a football player or a clothes designer or a Broadway director or an executive,
mm-hmm. right.
you figure out who that child is and help them become that person.
Yeah. Well, thank
you.
Goodness.
Grow the tree you got. That's my whole deal.
Yes,
I
and grow the tree you got. It's Tom Sturges, and you can get this, I know, on Amazon and everywhere else where they sell books. Tom, thank you so much. It's very fascinating. We could talk to you for hours.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you so much for letting me join you this morning. And what a great day, the day my book is getting.
Yes, yay. Sir. Absolutely. And congratulations.
All right, and say hi to your dad for me.
I will, Tom. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything, and congrats again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
you see,
I like
you never
it.
Know who you're going to get, you know?
You never
like
know.
Like a box of chocolate.
Okay, Forrest Gump. Jesus. Wait for that in the accent. Try that one again. What a great guy. He can't. He. You are different is right. My dad. I'm gonna kill my father. He goes, oh my God, you are different is right. Thanks, Pops. You ass.
No, but you know, I mean, I'm guilty of having yelled and stuff just because I used to be like very uptight, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there were times in my life where. You know, I wasn't happy about things, and I would just, like, yell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And not even at the kids, you know, like sometimes at drivers or something.
Sure,
but the
sure.
kids are there, you know, and I
sure.
know what he means. It does scare them, you know?
It totally
because, you know,
them.
As an adult, I mean, you're like a giant to them, and, you know, the
yeah.
deep voice and everything, and you raise it, and they see you angry, and they don't know how to react to it. I mean, think about it. You know, even when I'm grown now, if someone really gets angry around me, I don't know how to behave. I don't know how to react to it.
Hmm.
You know?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just like you sort of like internalize their anger,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. No, so. I find, I mean, he's such a talented man, and mm-hmm. everything he was saying was, you know, I totally agree with. I don't have kids, so,
right.
but I agree. Everybody is different. Like, I look at my brothers, and we, like I said, we are so completely different. And I love them all equally for who they are. I think mm-hmm. they are all tremendous men.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying they haven't made mistakes in their lives and whatever, and they're not perfect,
right.
but they're tremendous. Like,
right.
they are really amazing, amazing men. And I look at my parents, and I feel the same way, you know. But, you know, I know that that was something for me struggling as a child, like with my mother, it was,
right.
and my father at times, you know, it was a big issue, the trust thing.
Right.
That was really hard for me.
It is. And it is hard, you know, but that's the thing. Parenting is such a difficult thing to do.
Oh, I can't imagine.
You know, and just like he said, all the kids are different. So you have to adjust yourself to each kid, you know,
yeah.
and adapt and so forth. So
I yeah, like that. I mean,
easy.
There is no right or wrong way to
right.
parent. I mean, necessarily, but there's books out there like this book,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's great guidelines for parents to say, hey, you know what, let's try this.
Right.
And if it doesn't work, then let's try something else.
Yeah, but it gives you something to think about, and I think it's a great thing. And, you know, I'm going to finish reading the book, and I want to see if it can help me a little bit with my kids now, because, you know, I mean, we get along very well. It's just I don't see them enough, you know, or hear
yeah.
from them. They,
yeah.
you know, they don't call unless they need something, you know, and they don't talk to you unless you call, you know.
That's always the case. They only call when they need something.
Yeah, exactly.
And parents complain
you know?
About that.
But people say that eventually they come back, you know, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
You know what? Even though I live out here, mm-hmm. I've grown closer to my parents
yeah.
living out here because I have my own life and I'm doing my own thing. So it's
right.
nice to, you know, have that space, at
right.
least for me, because I'm a nutbag anyway. But, you know, but like you will become close with them again. It's just those years that,
yeah.
you know, they need their independence. They're trying to figure it out.
Right. And you got to embrace it, you know. And like I said, that's why parenting is hard, because you know you're supposed to do something in a certain way. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you feel, you know, it's hurtful sometimes, you know.
Oh, I can't.
To see your kids like that.
I can't imagine. Yeah. I'm only a parent. I'm only a mom to two dogs. And they don't talk back. So I could do no wrong. But like, you know, I mean, kids, it's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's
amazing that you have such a close family, you know. I mean, you don't see much of it today anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And you are a big family, and you know, and
not,
you know,
even,
I salute you guys.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that. Not even my immediate family, like all of my family I'm close to. My mom's side of the family, my dad's side of the family. I mean, there's issues in every family.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, we are close and we love each other and we support each other, and everybody lives within 15 minutes of each other, except for me.
Except for you.
I'm the only one.
You're
that got the hell out of there.
To the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my youngest brother went to Germany for playing basketball for a while, but, you know, now he's back, and so everybody lives within 15 minutes. So it's hard because there's always an event going on. So we would always, every weekend, would see each other, you know, for a birthday party or for some stupid Groundhog Day party. I don't know. I just made that up. I don't care. We don't do that. But, you know, like something like that. So it's hard to be away from that. But it's nice to have a... I'm thankful. Trust me. I'm thankful to have a close family.
No, I know. I know. And you're a person that's reasonably together. You know what I'm saying?
Settle down. You know? I wouldn't say reasonably together.
Believe me, I've met people.
I have moments, Sam.
I'm sure, like we all do.
My dad will disagree with that one. He thinks I'm a nut job. But no, I did like what I wanted to touch on too, before, when we can, you know, whatever, because I can beat this to death. But
yeah.
I like what he said about the... He sat down to his older son and said, look, there's somebody coming in here. I don't want you to feel left out. And you know what's interesting is I like that because I see this with my nephew, who, my nephew is the only grandchild, the only nephew in the family right now.
Mm.
Okay. He is spoiled beyond belief. But we love, he's so amazing. He's funny. He's smart. He's just a ball of energy and love and fun. But since he is the only child and he is four,
right,
if any kids come in, like my cousin has a daughter, Tessa, my mom will watch Tessa every so often. He likes Tessa for maybe about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when my mom gives her too much attention, he gets upset.
Right.
So it's like, when my brother does have kids again,
uh-huh,
you know, I it's going to be interesting to see that dynamic because he's four and,
right,
you know, he's going to... What, it's probably going to be 5 or 6 until he's got a brother. It's
right.
Going to be interesting to see that.
That's true,
you know.
Yeah.
But I liked what he had to say about it. I thought that was...
Yeah, it takes a lot of thought being a parent, you know. It's not very easy. And that's why some people should not have kids if they're not prepared for this.
Yeah. What's it called? Like the teenagers on Teen Mom. I don't think that they have their shit together. I'm just saying. So I don't think that they should be having kids.
No. Even adults, you know. I mean, it's just that some people, you realize, should not be kids, you know, because the kids become sort of an obstacle for them. And that's a sad thing, you know, when that happens.
Yeah. I completely...
Anyway, we beat this shit to death, man.
You're like moving on.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. He was a great guy, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really good.
So now Marie Osmond remarries her first husband.
I saw that.
Did
what
you see
is
that?
That?
I don't know what that
She's
is,
like,
man.
Elizabeth Taylor.
And this is not 30 years after their marriage and subsequent divorce 3 years later. And she's back with him.
Why?
Get married. I know, why is a good question.
Like, what is, really?
Yeah.
Really, you thought that maybe you could do this again?
Yeah. I tried a second time with my ex-wife.
Did
and
you?
It didn't last very long. I did it more to be with the kids because I missed living with them.
Okay.
And, you know, so I wasn't really honest with her. I wasn't really in love with her anymore or anything, you know. Not that I ever have been. You know?
So hold on. You were married, then you got divorced, and then you went back to her. You didn't remarry her.
No, I did not remarry her. But that was like 6 years later or something, you know.
Okay.
We got together and, you know, with the kids, and I enjoyed having the kids, you know, but the point is that if you guys don't get along, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, it's just not going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, look, I believe that people can change. Don't get me wrong. I really do. If you work on it, if you work on yourself and you really say, look, like, I want to change this, you want to change it, not somebody else telling
right.
you to do
no,
it.
No, absolutely. And people
but
do all the time.
At the same time, you got to look at, like, what is it, why they left each other in the first place? Like, is it something beyond that they could fix?
Right.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just...
Well, maybe they feel that they can, you know, but people forget. That's the thing, you know. Sometimes they forget that why they split up in the first place, you know.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Go Marie Osmond. I applaud her.
She wore the same wedding dress.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, how did she still fit into it? Wow.
Well, I'm sure they might have a little. Well, didn't she get skinny again? Didn't she get skinny again?
I don't think she ever got fat. I'm just saying that, you know, people usually to fit in your clothes from 30 years ago.
Right. No, she did get bigger. You know
did
that.
Did she?
Yeah, she was fluctuating with weight.
Oh, yeah,
now.
She was doing that diet thing, right?
Yeah.
She was a spokesperson for
that. Yeah, so she was a bigger girl for at least some time, and now she's...
Wow,
now
to fit back into
down.
Your... Yeah.
What is Donnie doing these days?
I don't know. I think they're appearing together somewhere.
Are they?
Yeah, I think I was reading about that.
What is... How many kids are in their family?
I think seven or
There's
nine
seven.
Or something.
And
yeah.
they're the only two that sing now? Or do they all... like?
No, they all do. Like, you
like
know,
Jackson.
A, couple,
like the
a
Jackson
few guy. Of them have kids that are singers now.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They've been on a couple of the shows on the station.
Okay.
Like Adam Osmond, I think he's like country singer and stuff
wow.
like that. Yeah. And but I'm sure the brothers still perform, you know, but it's not the same like when they were kids, you know.
My aunt, one of my mom's sisters, this is embarrassing. She is the number one fan of Donny Osmond in the fan club, and she got to meet him because she's the number one fan.
Really?
She's obsessed.
Yeah.
And I was like, I do not find that guy attractive in the least bit. I don't know what you're talking about.
At the time, he was, you know, I mean, he was a teen idol for sure.
Yeah,
you know?
He's a little too gay looking for me. I'm sorry. I need a little bit more of a man. He's a little too like, hey, like Broadway gay kind of thing. I don't buy it. I don't know. Not for me. I wouldn't have sex with him.
Oh,
that's for
funny.
Sure. But yeah, I think it's hilarious that she was like, it was like the best day of her life. I remember I was actually living at home at the time. I visited, and she was like, I mean, she talked about it like it was like meeting. I can't even compare it to me. Rob Pattinson for me or something, or Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Paul Newman in his heyday, I think, was the most beautiful man that has ever walked this earth.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
There's nobody like him.
Wow.
Nobody like that man. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was a dream for me. I wanted so badly to work with him as an actress.
Really?
Obviously, he's passed. But
yeah.
Oh, God, I just thought he was such an amazing man, like a great celebrity. He was such a great humanitarian. He loved his wife and his kids, and he was a great actor. And just, he was so... Did you ever watch his movies?
Yeah, a couple
okay,
of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
In his hate, he was so pretty. Like, uh-huh. I don't want to say that, but he was so pretty but yet manly
right.
that it was almost like... hard to like watch him because he was so good looking.
Wow.
I just, at least for me, I think that. Yeah. I think he was 10 times better looking than Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't really a Redford fan.
No, huh?
I mean, he was all right.
Yeah.
But
you were still young when they were like making it. I mean, you weren't even born when they were like, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, like watching his films, like,
right.
you know,
yeah.
watching, you know, The Hustler, Cool Hand Luke, or Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. I mean, he just, oh, God, it hurts. I just can't. Like, if I was Elizabeth Taylor, I would just make out with him throughout the whole movie. They'd be so pissed at me. I mean, even at, what, 80-something, when he died, he was still gorgeous to me, I thought. I thought he was just the sexiest man
alive.
Well,
that's cool. That's cool. You know, you see things there, and...
Yeah,
that's cool, you know.
I thought so.
Yeah.
But
so who knows? I mean, would you probably at this point would not remarry your husband.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Oh no. I'm like, I mean, I don't hate him by any means. Obviously we talked the other day, like I said, and he was like, let's go to dinner, and we haven't yet, which is, I think, it's okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're so different.
Really?
And I look at it and I didn't see how different we were.
Mm.
And now I do. Now I'm like, now I kind of wish my parents would have told me, like, really, Steph? Really? Is this what you want to do?
Even if they had, I'm sure you still would have gone out and did what you wanted.
And I thank them for not saying anything and just supporting me and saying, hey, if this is what you want to do, we support you, you know, which is awesome. But then I had to learn the hard way that this is a disaster. But, you know, I learned about a lot about what I want in somebody. Yeah. Like, I really did.
Yeah. What you want and what you don't want. You know, I think it goes both ways as far as that goes.
Yeah.
And,
I want to focus more on what I want.
Right. There you go.
And not what I don't want.
Okay. Sounds good. And on that
note,
positive note.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks
Tom.
Sam.
And we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Okay.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.